Hey guys, welcome to the MC Anime Podcast.
We cover anime, geek culture, Japanese aesthetics, and Asian studies. We are a multi-fandom podcast, and you can expect to hear topics in your favorite hobby or fandom activity potentially. You can find MC Anime on Google Podcasts, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and YouTube. Also, please check out mcanimepodcast.com, our website. Furthermore, stay tuned in for another episode.
Anime MC here, and today I have a special guest with me, Tasia. How you doing today, Tasia?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
Pretty good, pretty good. So tell them a little about yourself, what you do, and where they can find you on social media.
My name is Tasia. I work part time at Food Lion, and you can find me at the Tanaguchi on Instagram and TheTanaruchi.
All right, and today we're going to do a particular topic about the unsung murder mystery of JonBenet Ramsey.
Yes.
And how it being a cold case and it not being solved. And Tasia here had a lot to say about it, has some theories to talk about it.
Yeah.
So we're going to dive into JonBenet Ramsey's murder case. And talk about the evidence, the theory that we have as a collective, and overall, what that theory might reveal, who might it be, who did it, what kind of scenario. So, tell us a little bit about JonBenet in this scenario.
Okay, so she was a little pageant queen that started getting fame. America, you know, she had to bring her mom along with her. And then one night, I think on a Christmas Eve night, she was downstairs eating pineapple. And somewhere in the morning of Christmas Day, her mom went to, I think her mom went to go wake her and her brother up, and she was missing. And then they found her body in the basement of the family home. And a a ransom note was by her body. But we have theories here.
Yeah, exactly.
So my theory is because the father tried to book a flight, like, a few hours after the incident happened.
Mm-hmm.
And then the cops tracked him down and saw where he was trying to go. You never tell me that you're going to end up dead and you're trying to go travel. And there's something that seems suspicious.
Okay, so the father was booked a ticket.
Yeah.
So where is this ticket booked at?
Let me see. I forgot where it was booked at. I got to do more research on it, but tried to book it.
So he booked the ticket.
Yeah.
And the mystery behind it is, if you booked the ticket, why are you leaving when your daughter died or supposedly was killed? So that supports more superstition to him being the culprit, being able to get out of town, hide some evidence potentially. So I feel like that is more suspicious than anything else.
Yeah.
For the simple fact that, why are you booking the ticket when
all
that's going on? First off, here's a red flag. If you do that, that does do suspicion to you hiding something. Now, whether or not he was getting a ticket for vacation or visiting family, going out.
You was flying it that same day. You booked it the same day. So it looks suspicious because all that happened. A few hours later, you decide, oh, well, we got to book a ticket and I'm going to go somewhere.
All right. So he booked the ticket. What else in this theory makes you believe it was him?
Well, I also have another theory on another person who could possibly have done it.
Okay.
Her brother.
Ah, okay. Why would the brother do it?
So, it was like an interview that happened, I think, like, a year or two ago with him, and his body language said a whole bunch. Like, he was just smiling, laughing about the whole thing while I was being talked about. I think that's weird. And then they also said that the brother was probably jealous of her because she had fame and he didn't.
Okay, but how much fame can you actually get from being a pageant holder? Winning pageants and being in pageantry.
I mean, it could bring you up into the modeling world. She was going, like, higher into modeling.
Okay, so being in pageant and getting that recognition is what? A red flag because he wanted to be famous just like her, but he can't because he's not a woman or a female? Like,
money-wise. Think of it money-wise.
Oh, okay. Okay, but why? Okay. So, if you've been in pageantry and getting all this money because of prizes of doing, like, first place, second place, stuff like that, of course, you will get money based on the prizes they give. But why does he need that special attention?
Because maybe both of her parents was giving her more attention than him. He was, like, the background kid.
Okay. And then he grew up with her going all these different pageants and had to go with her?
Yeah.
So he was forced to go.
I'm not sure if he was forced to go. But I know he probably went.
So him feeling like he's isolated because the pageant world was such a reclusive.
Because you know, it's when money gets involved, and you see how famous your daughter becoming, and how much money she's bringing in for winning prizes, you're gonna give her more attention than anything, so you can get money and stuff. You know.
Yeah. All right. Is there anything else wrong about the brother that you wanted to bring up?
No, but I had something in my mind about the father, too.
All right, we can go back to the father.
So, on the ransom note, they made him do another writing it over again.
Yeah.
And his handwriting matched with the ransom note also.
So
they try to make it seem like somebody broke into their house and killed her. Is what he was trying to make it seem like. And they couldn't cover it up because he didn't think it all the way through because he was probably nervous.
So, okay. If he did the ransom note and it was his handling, then the logistics of the writing should match.
Yeah.
So do you know the profile of the logistics of the ransom note? Like the actual, the characterization, like male 30 grew up in the Southern accent, stuff like that. That's what the logistics is. Yeah. So what, do you remember some of the logistics of that? Alright. So the father potentially had matching handwriting.
Yeah.
Alright.
And then they also said they took him in first because of him trying to escape and fear playing butt to begin with. But they also said he messed up was because you tried to put a ransom note, and on the ransom note, they were asking you for money to get her back, but she was already dead in the house. So you probably did something to your daughter and tried to cover it up fast, and then think everything through.
Okay. So why do you think it's still unsolved, then?
I don't know. Maybe they're trying to pay it off and stuff, and cover it up still.
All right. Well, that's some possible theories. Yeah. Now we're going to go over some of the case, specifically by detail, and then we'll talk about it and give up some more characteristics of what happened. Okay. So, let's see. American child beauty queen was killed at the age of 6 in a family's home in Boulder, Colorado. We have a long handwritten ransom note found in the home. Father John found the girl's body in the basement of the house 7 hours after she's been reported missing. She sustained a broken skull from a bullet to the head, been strangled. There was a goatee found tied around her neck. The autopsy report stated that John Bonet, official cause of death, was asphyxiation, strangulation associated with a colonial cerebral trauma, which is usually to the neck. But death was ruled a homicide. The case generated worldwide public and media interest, in part because of her mother, Patsy Ramsey, a former beauty queen, entered John Bonet in a series of child beauty pageants. The crime is still a cold case, commence an open investigation with the Boulder Police Department. So, when we go to the Boulder Police, they had an initial suspect. The answer note was written by Patsy and said that the note and appearance of JonBenet's body had been staged by her parents in order to cover it up, the murder in 1998. So why do you think Patsy and the parents would be able to cover up the murder? Let's go over that detail real quick.
Why?
Why? Why do you think they were trying to cover up the potential body if they didn't?
But they didn't want to get a bad reputation in town, you know, because she used to be a pageant queen herself.
So, hoping a pageant queen could drive up negative attention if she was the murderer, ruin her name, ruin her image, stuff like that?
Yeah.
Okay. So, if she did it, hypothetically, do you think that the Patsy, the mother, and the father were cahoots to cover it up? Would that support your theory that they were in cahoots?
Yes.
Okay. Is there anything specifically you want to state in remembering you in your aspect of the investigation, how it turned out, that you think they were, there's a connection?
Heavy on the father because he didn't try to take the mother with him to go to where he was going. He was doing it by himself.
Okay, so he was fleeing.
Heavy on him. Yeah, him trying to flee from what he did. Because he had more doing in it than the mother did. And the mother basically tried to protect his name or protect their whole family name.
So you think the dad might potentially take blame for it more than his wife?
Yes.
Okay, interesting. So if he's trying to cover it up, why is he trying to flee? To make himself look like a suspect? Is he trying to make himself look like a suspect to get off his, the attention off his wife?
No, but no. What I meant to say was that Patsy was covering it up to protect him, and that she was trying to basically distract him from paying to her husband, giving him enough time to go escape or something, to flee.
Okay, so, the flee action could potentially lead to a direction of him being the suspect. She covering it up, trying to.
And
downplay
the
situation.
One who did the ransom note. That's my mistake.
Oh, so her handwriting over top. Okay. That's not bad. So the police and the district attorney both said that JonBenet's brother, Book, was 9 years old at the time of her death, was not a suspect. JonBenet's parents were gave several interviews, resisted police questioning except on their own terms. October 2013, unsealed court documents revealed. A 1999 grand jury had recommended filing charges against the Ramseys for permitting the child to be in a threatening situation. John and Patsy were also accused of hindering the prosecution of an unidentified person who had committed the crime of murder in the first degree and child abuse resulting in death. However, the DA determined that there was insufficient evidence to pursue a successful indictment. So there's not enough evidence to say that your theory plays out the way it did. What is your thoughts on that?
That's crazy.
So what was a smoking gun that connected them to the murder?
They messed up handwriting, like escape plans and stuff. They messed a lot of that up. A lot of people had the same theory that I did.
So you potentially connect with other people in similar theory. Yeah. Alright, going with that. So, though the further thing of the case, the DA's successor took over the investigation of the case from the police, primarily pursued the theory that an intruder had committed the killing. 2003, trace DNA that was taken from the victim's clothes was found to belong to an unknown male. Each of the family's DNA had been excluded from this match. The DA sent the Ramseys a letter of apology in 2008, declaring the family was completely cleared by DNA results. So do you think by them not having any DNA on the clothes successfully proves that they didn't do
Wasn't
it?
Wasn't she right?
This is an unknown identified male was the trace DNA on her clothes.
Okay, so that brings me to another theory that I just thought about.
Okay,
maybe
sure.
They hired somebody to do their dirty work.
Okay. So now they're trying to... So your theory is now to do a hitman.
Yeah.
Is
So they hire a hitman. They go by meeting them, contact them. There's a paper trail or phone call, something. Is there anything that you know of that leads to that theory, to hitman theory?
No, but it's just like, I'm just going with the...
Okay, we're going with hypothetical right now. Yeah. That's fine. So they went and hired a hitman. What motive does the father have to murder his own daughter?
I mean, he probably was also jealous of his daughter. It's a lot of people that was jealous of somebody.
Okay, and if the father, say the father did it. Mm-hmm. Hypothetically, he did it.
Yeah.
A very common denominator in murder is you accidentally kill them. You get into a fight, you get into an altercation, and they get murdered.
You can't say that, and the last place she was in the kitchen.
Yes, he can get in a fight with her own daughter in their own house.
Did you not know how young that girl was? She wasn't even a teenager. Yeah, you can't fight a little kid. That's abuse right there. So, you...
But they have a theory that they were... putting in 1999 for a case to be going back to be indicted for endangerment of a child. They had a grand jury in 1999 trying to convict them of endangerment of the child.
Oh, well, there we go.
So there is potential circumstantial evidence to support something gone wrong in an altercation.
Mm-hmm.
So there is that connection. Now, if the more we discuss it, might we have even more clues to it. So, when we go back, 2008, the family is cleared. Others include the former Boulder Police Chief Beckner, disagree with exonerating the Ramseys, carrying the DNA as a small piece of the evidence that was not proven to have any connection to the crime. February 2009, the Boulder Police took the case back from the DA and reopened the investigation. So national and international media coverage of the case on John Burnett's brief beauty pageant career, as well as her parents' wealth and the unusual evidence found in the case. Media reports question how the police handled the investigation. The Ramsey family members and their friends have filed defamation suits against the several media organizations. So what do you think of the Ramseys trying to follow suit in civil action of defamation to the media outlets?
Defamation of character?
Mm-hmm.
Of course they're going to do that. They're trying to get the media and everything off of their backs.
All right. So they still got something to hide. Mm-hmm. And for their lack of character in the media, they want to sue because they were supposedly found to not be connected, so they're trying to sue because they had that basis. So, John Denae was born August 6, 1990 in Atlanta, Georgia. She's the younger of two children of Patricia Patsy Ramsey and John Bennett Ramsey. She had an older brother named Book. Janae's first name combines with her father's first and middle name. Her mother's first name was used as the middle name. She was enrolled in kindergarten at High Peaks Elementary School in Boulder, Colorado. Joan Bonet's body was found on December 26, 1996 in the family Boulder residence. She was buried at St. James Episcopal Cemetery, in Marietta, Georgia on December 31st. John Bonet was interred next to the half-sister Elizabeth Patch Renee, who had died in a car crash nearly 5 years ago, only at the age of 22. So she has a sister who died in a car crash 5 years before her death.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think there's something suspicious at foot with the car accident? 5 years before she died. Before her older sister died.
It depends on like what happened at the crash. Like if she crashed into another car or something.
Okay. Alright, now let's talk about the parents real quick. So John Bonet, or John Ramsey, was a businessman who was the president of Access Graphics, a computer software company that later became a subsidiary of Lockheed Martin. His first marriage ended in divorce in 1978. John's two surviving adult children, a son and daughter, lived elsewhere. 1991, John had moved with Patsy, his second wife and family, to Boulder, where Access Graphics headquarters was located. Now, Patsy Ramsey is the mother. She entered JonBenet in various child beauty pageants in Boulder, where she won the title of America's Royal Miss, Little Miss Charlie Villay, Little Miss Colorado, Colorado State, All Kids Cover Girl, okay, and National Tiny Miss Beauty. JonBenet's active role in the child beauty pageants and Patsy's reported pageant mother behavior reported by the media after the murder. So in the summer of 1997, 6 months after JonBenet's death, the Ramseys moved to a new home in Atlanta after a summer at the vacation retreat in Charlevoix, Michigan. Patsy died of ovarian cancer at age 49 in 2006. She was next to her daughter. So, we have all these pageantries. We have the father who's at Access Graphics. Mm-hmm. Her mother who's a former pageant queen. What can they lose with them murdering JonBenet?
Everything they got.
So, looking at the graphics company and the former title pageant girl.
Well, she can't lose that, but he can lose his job.
Okay. All right. So, now let's go at the evidence. First, the Ramson note.
Yeah.
So, we have statements that Patsy gave to authorities on December 26, 1996. She realized that her daughter was missing after she found a 2.5-page handwritten ransom note on the kitchen staircase at the Ramson family Boulder residence. The note demanded $118,000, equivalent to $203,877 in 2021. John pointed out to the police, first on the scene, that the amount was nearly identical to the Christmas bonus of the prior year, which suggested that someone would have access to that information to be involved in the crime. Let's stop right there. He gave away information that was almost identical to his bonus that same year. That's very suspicious. He notes it's the amount is similar to his bonus check, but normal, like, why are you making that connection unless you specifically remember your bonus check and you write down the amount similar to your bonus check?
Mm-hmm.
So what? Does he want another bonus check?
I guess so.
That don't make any sense. That's weird. I'm going to say just because of that. So he pointed out the place that it was nearly identical to the Christmas bonus. He suggested that someone would have access to that information who would be involved in the crime. Investigators looked at several theories behind the dollar amount demanded, considering employees at Access Graphics who may have known about the amount of John's prior bonus. They also considered the possibility that the ransom note was a demand in reference to Psalm 118 and spoke to religious sources to determine possible relevance. The ransom note appears to be in the Echo Film dialogue. The film's Ransom Speed and Dirty Harry have exempted the sources. Unusually long, the Federal Bureau Investigation, FBI, was unusual for such a note to be written at the crime scene. The police believe that the note was staged because it did not have any fingerprints except for Pansy's and authorities who handled it. Because it included unusual use of exclamation points and internalisms, the note and practice draft were written with a pen and notepad from the Ramsey home. So let's stop right there. Unusually long and was not at the time of the murder. It was written after the murder. So why would a ransom note be written after the murder? That don't make any sense.
If somebody else was to do this and they was covering a track, they would have did it before the murder. They would have written
the whole thing before. If it was a ransom note, they wouldn't murder them. Usually, with a ransom note, you kidnap them and then wait like 48 hours to 72 hours to catch up with the money.
Exactly. So, you see what I'm saying?
Well, it doesn't make any sense that there's not a specific time frame to hand them the money, to give the money back to them. Like, because there's no time frame to give the money to the person.
They the piece that we're missing that we're not acknowledging is they know when she was in the home. She was in the home the whole time.
Yeah, I know.
So you telling me that she got killed hours after the last time they seen her?
Yeah. So they what?
So any little time was set out enough because you know if you can hold somebody ransom, you'll let people wake up in the morning and read the notes and stuff. No, y'all try to clear up. Y'all try to cover up what y'all was doing.
It's weird because I think it's like it's literally it being found out that they did it.
Yeah.
Supposedly it was like why would the motor come back to my ransom note?
Exactly. That's stupid.
Unless the water already had access to the house to begin with.
It would have been different if she would have had like a nanny or something.
Yeah.
Because a nanny got keys to the house and stuff like that because she got to come and watch the kids for y'all. It would have been different if it was something like that. But no.
This was hours after. And remember in the missing report, it took at least six hours to clean that they found in the basement.
Exactly.
Enough time to make the ransom note.
Exactly.
So the ransom note wasn't immediate, and Patsy fingerprints are on it.
But can we announce another thing? I have not once heard someone call 911 to report her missing or anything. I haven't heard a missing call or nothing. Because, you know, your child went missing. You're like, oh, my child went missing. She was here, da da da. I haven't heard.
So unless they went to the police station themselves to file a missing report.
Yeah, they too, but they would put that in the, you know.
No, I know. It's really mighty convenient to have that happen.
Exactly.
Let's see. We also have the CBI. According to the Coral Bureau investigation, there are indications that the author of the ransom note is Patricia Ramsey. However, the evidence fell short of a definite conclusion. So, Michael Baden, a board-certified forensic philanthropist who had consulted with both sides of the case, said he had never seen a note like it in his 60-year experience, and he did not think it was written by an outside stranger. So, 60-year-old veteran thinks the note mind-boggles his own personal experience being in, you know, forensics and how he works with notes and handwriting and logistics.
Mm-hmm.
He never seen something like that. So the note is special. We can only conclude that very long, like
somebody had time. Use that.
Someone had time, but also it also supports that someone was an educated background.
Yeah.
Patricia and her husband had that background.
Exactly.
But specifically being in pageantry, that type to me, it seems like a speech.
Mm-hmm.
Like a long, written speech. Pageants.
She practiced speech. And she know
she had a lot of public speaking in pageantry.
Look at this. This makes sense.
I mean, it's making more sense as we look at it. But also, having public speaking background, having that practice, knowing how to write it.
And one of the practices is writing the speech and reading it off the paper.
Yeah. So. And having, like, you know, I'm so glad to be in this environment for my pageant experience has been so good and grand. I thank you, everyone, for being here, being supported, all this other stuff.
She can also freestyle a speech off the top of her head.
Exactly.
As long as she has done it. Like,
I know. And given multiple hours, she could have drafted in less than at least 2 or 3 hours. Especially someone of educated background. Federal court ruled that it's in highly unlikely that Patsy wrote the note, signing 6 certified handwriting experts. The court bemoaned the existence of self-proclaimed experts without credentials, trying to wiggle their way into the case by accusing Patsy without the scientific basis. So the text, Mr. Ramsey, listen carefully. We are a group of individuals that represent to Smay Fordham Fighting. We do request your business, but not the country, that if it serves. This time we have yet your daughter in your expansion. She is safe and secure, and up to you want her to save her. 1997, You said you follow our institutions to this letter. You will withdraw $118,000 from your account. $100,000 will be in filial bills and remaining $18,000 in $20 bills. Make sure that you bring the accurate amount to the bank when you get home. You will get the money in a brown paper bag. I will call you between 8 to 10 a.m. tomorrow to instruct you on the deliveries. The delivery itself will be exhausting as I advise you to be rested. I'll be giving you the money eventually. We might call you early to arrange the earlier delivery of the money and hand deliver pickup of your daughter. Any diminution on investments will result in the immediate execution of your daughter. You'll be worried to remain for the proper blind amount. The true gentleman watching over your daughter, to particularly you and I, advise you not to provoke them. Speaking to have that yield situations such as police, FBI, etc. will result in your daughter being beheaded. If we catch you trying to a stray dog, she dies. If you alert bank everything, she dies. If the money is a day later marked with the she dies, you'll be scanned for deliveries, and if you don't have the funds, she dies. You can try to deceive us, but none of us will believe you. We are familiar with law enforcement and things. You're stand 99% chance of killing your daughter if you try to outsmart us. Follow our instructions and you stand 100% chance of getting your daughter back. You and your family are under constant security as well as the authorities. Don't try to grow a brain, John. You're not the only one around, so don't think that killing will be disfigured. Don't underestimate us, John. Use that good Southern hospitality sense of yours. It's up to you, John. Sincerely, SBTC. Whatever SBTC means. So, all that is literally
email in a letter?
Yeah. Any deviation of destruction will result in the immediate execution. You'll be denied her remains for proper burial. The two gentlemen watching do particularly like you, so I advise you not to provoke them.
Exactly.
Why do they like you?
Why would they like you? They kidnapped your daughter and hold her for
that. Don't make any sense. If we catch you talking to a stray dog, she dies. If you alert bank authorities, she goes. If the money is any way marked or tampered with, she gone. You'll be scanned for electronic devices if they're found. She's gone. You tried to deceive us, but be warned, we're familiar with law enforcement countermeasures and tactics. You stand a 99% chance of killing your daughter if you tried to outsmart us. Follow instructions and you stand 100% and getting her back. Under constant scrutiny, as well as the authorities, don't try to grow a brain. You're the only fat cat around, so don't think that killing will be difficult. Don't underestimate us. Use a good Southern common sense of yours. It's up to you now, John. Like, this is John. John this. They act like they know them.
Yeah, like...
So the dog was killed, but they still found the ransom note anyway.
And every single option...
And who the heck is SBTC?
See?
Who's SBTC?
Who's SBTC?
That don't make any sense. Why you give a SBTC notion?
If somebody else was killed, they want
to
put their
initials. Well, the SBTC doesn't make any sense. I don't even know any connection to that.
But at the same time, though, listen. Every single option they gave y'all to do something, they said she was going to be gone anyway.
I know. But, like, usually a ransom note is not that specific.
It's like they don't tell how they're going to do it. They don't tell how they're going to do anything.
Like, I don't understand, like, every specific thing. They're not nailed out everything. Tampering with the bank. They want specific 18,000 and 20 bills. They want others in hundreds or 200s.
Mm-hmm.
They want a bank transfer. All this stuff, it can be tracked. So they're not very smart, but it's also more sophisticated and thought about when they're writing the letter.
Yeah. Yeah.
None of this makes sense. Now we're going to the 911 call in the initial search of the child. So the only people known to be in the house of JonBenet's death were her immediate family, Patsy and John, and their son, Book. The ransom note contained specific instructions against contacting police and friends, but Patsy telephoned the police at 9:55 a.m. MST. She also called family and friends. Two police officers responded to the 911 call, arrived at the Ramsey home within 3 minutes. They conducted a cursory search of the house, but did not find any sign of forced entry. Officer Rick French went to the basement, came to the door that was secured by a wooden latch. He paused for a moment in front of the door, but walked away without opening it. French later explained that he was looking for an exit route used by the kidnapper, which the closed inside peg ruled out. JonBenet's body was later found behind the door. With JonBenet still missing, John made arrangements to pay the ransom. A forensics team was dispatched to the house. The team eventually believed that the child had been kidnapped, and JonBenet's bedroom was the only room in the house that was cordoned off to prevent contamination of evidence. No contamination of evidence in the rest of the house. Meanwhile, friends and victim advocates and the Ramsey's family minister arrived at the home to show support. Visitors picked up clean surfaces in the kitchen, potentially destroying evidence. Okay. Boulder Detective Linda arrived at 8 a.m. MST in anticipation of receiving further instructions by the kidnappers, but it was never an attempt to anyone to claim the money. So this one doesn't make any sense. No one was there to claim the money. So they had the police there ready to make sure that if anyone showed up for the money, that no one showed up. Why does no one show up?
Because her body's already in the basement the whole time.
And the ransom note was false.
Exactly.
To produce a narrative that there was a kidnapping going wrong, and the kidnapping is now dead.
Because the kidnapping wouldn't bring the person that they're trying to kill or something back to their residence or nothing.
Exactly.
They wouldn't have came back.
She never left the house.
Exactly.
She was in the basement when she was dead.
She was just in there.
We also had visitors contaminating the crime scene.
Yeah.
Whether the visitors knew or not that they were contaminating the crime scene, they did anyway.
And they let it happen.
They knew that potentially that the crime scene could be altered in any way that would prevent specific evidence to be found about the kitchen incident. So, your theory does support more. There's only three people in the house. There's no forced entry into the house. There's nothing broken.
Nope.
They still haven't. They have insufficient evidence to say all this. It doesn't make any sense why it's not one of them. It ain't gonna be the brother. He's 9 years old. The brother's 9. 36-year-old daughter. That ain't gonna happen.
You never know. It's T.O.Z. killers.
Okay. We're not gonna talk about 9-year-old serial killers. But anyway, so the discovery of the body. This is at 1 p.m. MST. Mind you, this is around 8:52 when the crime was reported, and then like 10 or 11, they still can search for more evidence. Detective Aaron asked John and Flint White, a family friend, to search the house if anything seemed off, amiss. They started the search in the basement. John opened the latch door with the officer had overlooked and found his daughter in one of the rooms. JonBenet's mouth was covered with duct tape, a nylon cord around her wrist and neck, and her torso was covered by a white blanket. John picked up the child's body, took it upstairs. JonBenet was moved. The crime scene was further contaminated, and critical forensic evidence was disturbed for the returning forensics team. So, more contamination of evidence, suggesting that more evidence could have been found on the cause of death or linking to the death that wasn't found. Why is everything contaminated?
Because they don't know who did it.
Like, no one keeps contaminating the crime scene if he's the only one in the house. Each of the Ramseys provided handwriting, blood, and hand samples to the police. Well,
hair and blood aren't going to help for the simple fact your DNA is all over the house anyway. John and Patsy participated in a preliminary interview for more than 2 hours. Brooke was also interviewed in the first couple weeks following JonBenet's death. So here's the autopsy. The autopsy revealed that JonBenet had been killed by strangulation and a skull fracture. The official cause of death was initiated by strangulation with the cranial cerebral trauma, which is the head and neck. No evidence of rape. However, sexual assault could not be ruled out. No semen, no evidence that had been, injured to the private parts. At the time of the autopsy, the pathologist recorded that it appeared the area had been wiped with a cloth down there. Her death was ruled a homicide. She's wiped the cloth of any potential evidence of sexual assault.
They tried to clean the semen off of her.
That don't make any sense. None of this stuff makes any sense. I don't understand how they can just botch the entire thing. Police are not botching it. It's the parents.
Yeah.
A GMO was made from a length of nylon cord. Broken handled paintbrush was found tied around the neck. Apparently been used to strangle. Part of the bristle and the paintbrush was found in the tub containing the Patsy's art supplies. But the bottom third of it never found despite extensive searching of the house by police in the subsequent days. They got rid of evidence.
There you go. They're the ones who did it, y'all.
The autopsy revealed a vegetable or fruit material, which may present pineapple, had eaten a few hours before her death. Photographs of the home taken on the day of the body was found a bowl of pineapple on the kitchen table with a spoon in it. Neither John nor Patsy said they remember putting the bowl on the table or feeding pineapple to JonBenet. Okay. Police report they found John's 9-year-old brother, Brooke Ramsey's fingerprints on the bowl. The Ramseys always said that Brooke slept through the entire night and he was awakened several hours after the police arrived. But his fingerprints are on the bowl of pineapple that was in her stomach.
Yeah. He did it. He cut the fruit and he said he didn't do it.
So this supports that Brooke wasn't in the room several hours sleeping, as they originally said.
Well, yeah.
They don't remember pineapple either. Why they don't remember pineapple? Wouldn't you remember feeding your daughter a pineapple in a bowl?
Yeah, y'all don't want to see y'all children into sleep too. That's another part. It did say that they took both of their kids into sleep, which you didn't because your fingers was on the bowl.
Her brother's fingerprints are on the bowl. So her brother touched the bowl.
Yeah. So both of your kids was down here eating.
There was pineapple with a spoon in it.
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense. Then we had the blood samples. Forensic investigators extracted a mixed blood sample from JonBenet undergarments, establishing a DNA profile. That DNA belonged to an unknown male person and excluded the DNA of each of the Ramseys. The DNA submitted to the combined DNA index system, the FBI, contained more than 1.6 million DNA profiles, but the sample did not match any profile in the evidence. It's common for DNA not to be in their system because if you don't have no prior convictions, not a federal worker, have any reason for them to connect DNA to the system, it's not going to be there. Now, it reports that the new forensic analytical with more sensitive techniques reveal that the original DNA contained genetic markers from two individuals other than JonBenet. A James Caller, who was a lead investigator for the D's office, said that there was an additional trace evidence of DNA found on the cord and paintbrush that Boulder District Mary Lacey did not mention. Six separate DNA samples belonged to unknown individuals that were found by the test. They believe that the DNA had shown up identically in several different places on multiple surfaces belonging to the killer. Ellen's family, Bob Grant, who was assisted on the case for many years, also believes that the DNA evidence is significant, saying that any resolution of the case would have to explain how the DNA showed up on several pieces of JonBenet's clothing. The forensic pathologist said, trace amounts of DNA can go on places and clothing from different and non-suspicious means. There is no forensic evidence to show this is a stranger murder. So, once again, DNA doesn't have to be from a stranger. It can be from other sources. So meaning that six victims could be anyone who had contact with that paintbrush when they bought it at the hardware store, possibly other people touching it in the vicinity that came in the home. So DNA does not always prove anything in this scenario. So, the investigation. Experts and media commenters and the Ramses have identified potential aspects in the case. Focus exclusively upon John and Pansy, 1987. 1,600 people in the index of persons for the case. Now, errors that were made in the initial complicated the resolution of the investigation and applicable theory. Loss and contamination of evidence. Lack of experience and technical staff on the investigation. Evidence shared with the Ramses. And delayed informal with the parents. The informal interviews were delayed with the parents of the Ramses. It took weeks for the brother to be interviewed as well.
That's what they did the crime.
And also evidence shared with the Ramses. They shared evidence with them. So they had access to get rid of more evidence.
They did it.
And they can form narratives to undermine the evidence as well.
They did the crime.
Maybe they did. With the detective who came out of retirement, Bo Smith, to assist the Bodle DA's office with the case, he presented findings to the Bodle police with other staff members, including that the evidence pointed away from the Ramses. They were unable to successfully challenge the police department's belief that the Ramses were guilty. The DA's opted to take control of the investigation. Due to amnesty between the police and the DA's office, the pressure to contain a conviction, Governor Roy Rahmer unseated and named Michael Caine as the special prosecutor to initiate a grand jury. This is where the grand jury comes into play to say that to try to charge them with endangerment of the child. Two of the lead had opposing views. Smith and Steve ultimately resigned. Smith because he believed that the investigation incompletely overlooked the intruder hypothesis, and Thomas because the DA's office had interfered with and failed to support the investigation of the case. The grand jury was convened beginning September 1998, indicting the Ramses for charges relating to the case. The grand jury returned to a true bill to charge the Ramses for placing the child at risk in a way that led to the death, obstruction, investigation of murder based on the probable cause. But Bodle County District did not prosecute them because he did not believe that he could meet the higher standard of proving guilt beyond a reasonable doubt that's required for a criminal conviction. So, again, insufficient evidence. And he withdrew. He didn't follow through the case, even though they're the only suspects in the entire case.
They did it.
The entire suspects. There has not been another suspect to this day. And if they're in the house, where did they go? It don't make any sense. Boulder police announced that Stan Garnett, the new Boulder district attorney, was turning the case over to the agency. Team will resume investigating. Found that the statute of limitations for the crimes identified in 1999 grand jury true bill had expired and did not pursue renewal against the Ramses. So, for anyone that doesn't know what a statute of limitations is, there's a certain amount of time to be charged with a crime. If you're past that time frame, you cannot be charged in the statute of limitations. And certain statute of limitations are usually 10 years. So in this case, it was 10 years they could not be charged. October 2010, Boulder Police reopened the cold case. New interviews were conducted, a fresh inquiry by a committee. State and federal investigators. Police were expected to use the latest DNA technology. No new information gleaned from those interviews. It was reported 2016 that JonBenet's death continues to be an active homicide case per Boulder Police Chief Griff Testa. So it's still on homicide. They have not ruled anything to result in accidental death or suicide. Yet again, suicide is probably thrown out because it's a six-year-old girl.
Yeah.
So the only other possible theory is an accidental death. No. This is not a natural death. We already know that. And accidental is really hard to prove in this type of scenario.
Exactly.
When you have a rope around your neck. So, 2015, exonerating the Ramsey stating, exonerating anyone based on a small piece of evidence that had not been proved to be connected to the crime is absurd. So he states that he disagrees. Has got to be the focus on the investigations. At this point in time, to be proved otherwise, the suspect is the donor of the unknown of that unknown DNA. So a former investigator, Gordon Cobbs, who also questioned the absolution of the Ramseys, we all shed DNA all the time within our skin cells. It can be deposited anywhere at any time for various reasons. Reasons that begin to clear somebody on the premise of touch DNA, especially when you have a situation when the crime scene wasn't secure at the beginning, really is a stretch. Forensic psychologists hired by Boulder authorities, Lacey's public exoneration of the Ramseys was a big slap in the face to Chief Backner and the core group of detectives who have been working the case for years. So when they exonerate them, it was more fuel to the fire of things going wrong that was already going wrong in the case.
They did everything, guys. They did it. Like, this whole case thing should be closed. Everything should have went right. It had so many evidence that was tampered with because of them.
Mm-hmm.
Because they let them see it. Everything is leading back to them. They still let them slide.
See, there's only two theories. Supposedly. A family member who knew that she was there. One who is there's initially contracted almost exclusively upon the parents, John and Patsy. A retired profile stated it's statistically it's 12-1 probability that it's a family member of a caregiver or a caregiver who's involved in the homicide of a child. So no evidence of a forced entry, but they did see evidence of staging of the scene, such as the ransom note. They did not find the Ramseys cooperative in helping them solve the death of their daughter. The Ramseys have said that their reluctance was due to their fear there would not be full investigations for intruders. They will be hastily selected as key suspects in the case. And then one theory is Patsy struck Janae in a fit of rage after the wedding episode. A bedwetting episode. Strangled her to cover it up of what happened after mistakenly thinking she was already dead. However, Patsy did not have a known history of controlled anger. Janae's brother later said, We didn't get spanked, nothing of the sort, nothing close, nothing near laying a finger on us, let alone killing your child. Theoretically, the strangulation could have been a red herring aspect to conceal other elements of the assault and killing. Book, who's 9 years old at the time, was interviewed by at least 3 times. The first 2 interviews did not raise any concerns about him. A review by a child psychologist stated that it appeared Ramsey had a healthy, caring family relationship and said during an interview with a news reporter, Book was not involved in the killing of his sister. Reiterated that Book Ramsey was not a suspect, had never considered him as a suspect. The Ramseys were offered $100,000 reward in a newspaper dated 1927, 1997, 3 days after, more than four months after the body of the daughter was found. They submitted for the first time to separate formal interviews at the Boulder justice system. So, quit hiding behind their PR firm, which is Bill Owens, the governor at the time. So, the grand jury voted to indict the parents. The indictment cited 2 counts of child abuse, each of child abuse, and said the parents did unlawfully, knowingly, recklessly, and feloniously permit a child to be unreasonably placed in a situation that posed a threat of injury to the child's life or health, which resulted in the death of Ramsey, a child under the age of 16. Vote to indict was not revealed publicly until 2013, when previously sealed court records was released. A show broadcast user group estimates to evaluate the evidence. The group theories that Book and his sister were a heavy object, that she stole a piece of pineapple from his bowl, perhaps not intending to kill her. The ransom note was an attempt to cover up the suspicion of Janae's death. His counsel filed against CBS, The Producers, and The Intruder. There's no The Intruder theory is thrown out because there's no forced entry. The parents were already there, so they were seeing them potentially. Also, why would the intruder take the daughter to the basement? How do they not know that someone's in their house? Like, it's not like this is late at night. Like, this doesn't make any sense. Exactly. So there is no intruder. I don't believe there's an intruder. I don't think there will be.
Exactly.
But the biggest red herring of the entire thing is literally the grand jury indictment. The grand jury indictment, they publicly indicted them for charges of endangering for someone under 16 to be murdered.
They're crazy.
They were indictment, but they were not prosecuted because the prosecutor said it didn't fit the crime or the explanation to means to do the crime. Or, legally speaking, means there is enough reasonable doubt to say otherwise that they didn't do it. So the entire conclusion of the entire case is nothing. Except the parents' grand jury indictment.
Well, we actually solved the case, guys. The system didn't. The parents did it.
I mean, we don't know.
We do.
We can talk about it. But at the end of the day, the case is unsolved. There has not been a formal resolution of who did it, when, and why. There is only circumstantial evidence of everything, and because of contamination of evidence being a main factor, then the entire case falls apart. So, the conclusion to JonBenet Ramsey's death and killing of her, maybe the parents, but there ain't enough evidence to say otherwise officially in the court system. So it means unsolved. What's your opinion about that?
They did it.
They did the crime? Did she do the time?
Well, they can't do it now because he's 6 feet under.
True. True. Mother's dead. The dad's alive, supposedly.
He should do the time.
I mean, will the case be solved? Probably not.
No, because it's already far gone.
It's not too far gone unless new evidence arises connecting to the murder. But there's also a missing supply that's never found. There's all these things that's supporting to controversy to hide an investigation, to basically evade efforts to be prosecuted, and all these other things. So, when evidence goes away, it's usually the people involved that have the closest access to the evidence to say otherwise that the evidence is not there. So, in all of this, what we can conclude is this. The system is not always right. And a system can't always get everybody in the suspecting parties in the legal sense to for a jury to believe where there's doubt in the case to prosecute. This concludes the episode of JonBenet Ramsey and the killing of her. You can watch and subscribe to the podcast where you podcast near you. Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and iHeartRadio. You can also go to the www.ncmapodcast.com to see more of the content uploaded there and join our Patreon community where you can be an active member in doing spokesman, cover art, polls, be a special guest, and more, or even a sponsor of the podcast. Thank you, guys. And before we go, where can they find you, Tasia, for your commentary on the Janae Ramsey case?
At the Tana Rucci on Instagram.
All right. There you go. Bye, guys.
Bye.
This concludes another episode of MC Anime Podcast. MC Anime Podcast is available on podcast directories like Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and YouTube. We also have our website at mcanimepodcast.com. If you want to directly support us, then follow Patreon blog MC Anime. Finally, if you want services for hire, then we're available on Fiverr for audio and video production, graphic design, idea consulting, and blog and article writing.